If you've got a Bible with you, if you want to turn, please, to the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22 as well. So we're going to the very last chapter of the Bible as well. And I'm just going to pray and ask for God's blessing on his word this evening. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, how wonderful to sing your praises this evening like that, to just let ourselves go and lose ourselves in love and in awe and in wonder of you. Lord, tonight, as we have, through our praise, Lord God, and our worship, made our hearts responsive to this word, we pray, please, that you would give us ears to hear what your Spirit is saying to us, please. We ask, Almighty God, that your Holy Spirit would speak to everyone, Lord God, in this place tonight, to those tuned in, Lord God, on Facebook or the podcast as well, that they too would hear what you're saying. Lord, this is a message that we need to take heed of tonight. This is a message, Lord God, that could scare the living daylights out of people, Lord God. But nonetheless, it is your truth. And we pray that your truth will triumph. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're continuing in our series, The Return of the Man Who Never Came Back. This is actually number 11. It's hard to believe that we've been going so long on this particular series. But I want to ask the question, have you noticed, or has anybody noticed, how many books there are these days that can be bought with themes on last days prophecies or the end of the world predictions? And I'm not talking about, you know, everybody was flocking out in the year near 2000 to buy all the Nostradamus stuff, you know, because he had all of these predictions of what was going to happen. But, like, he's not the only one. There's loads of these so-called prophets and these oil boys from years ago who had all of these predictions of how things were going to unfold. But there's a new modern phenomenon where there are more and more books being produced on last days prophecies and end of the world predictions. And it's staggering. And a lot of them, strangely enough, they're not even Christian books. They're not written by Christians. Other people are talking about last day scenarios. And alongside these, we have films that are being churned out all the time, all about the end of the world. Really, I tell you, it looks like this. If we're not going to be wiped out by technology, then it's every likelihood that the zombies are coming to get us. And I don't know if you've noticed, but recently UFO sightings have made a comeback. Has anybody noticed? You've been watching the news and watching just different things on television. UFO sightings. I remember a girl that lived beside me on Lismore Avenue. I wished I had two stamps or whatever it was she was taking. But she walked up the top of Skipperstone Road and she was on her way to work at 7:30 one morning when she said she looked up and there was a giant spaceship right above her head. And I thought, I'll have two pints of whatever she took. And I used to say when I lived in the Bloomfield Road, you know, I had a relatively big garden and people would come to me and argue about aliens. And I said, listen, there's a garden there. They're more than welcome to come and park their flying saucer. You know, I'll make them a cup of tea. It never turned up. But anyway, recently, as I said, UFO sightings have made a comeback as we're led to believe that aliens are going to attack and annihilate planet Earth. Or perhaps they're coming to take smart people away, which is why I have a case packed underneath my bed. None of you pack your bags, but they're coming for smart people. But in light of these apocalyptic prophecies and predictions, is it possible, is it remotely possible that someone, somewhere, is really trying to tell us something important? Denise mentioned last week how the Apostle John, a very close disciple of Jesus, had been exiled to the island of Patmos because of his faith in the Lord. And while there, as he worshipped one Sunday, John had a powerful, powerful experience. He describes being caught up to heaven in the Spirit, where he witnessed extraordinary events that were to unfold. And John was told to write down what he saw and heard and to deliver it in letter form to the seven churches in Asia Minor. And so in Revelation chapter 22, reading from verse 8, this is part of what he was told to record. Revelation 22, verse 8. "Now I, John, saw and heard these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Then he said to me, 'See that you do not do that. For I am your fellow servant and of your brethren, the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book, worship God.' And he said to me, 'Do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city." Now, we have absolutely no idea what time elapsed from when John said he was caught up into heaven in the Spirit to this point near the end of the Revelation. However, as the Revelation comes to an end, John gets a glimpse at the New Jerusalem, the holy city coming down from heaven, and he sees the thrones of God and Jesus are there. And Denise also said, the wonderful thing about this place is the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God Almighty, is there dwelling with his people. This is paradise restored. This is paradise restored. Remember how paradise was lost after Eve and Adam succumbed to the devil's temptation and ate from the fruit of the tree that God had forbidden them to eat of. As a result of their disobedience, sin entered in and cut them off from fellowship with God. The original paradise, the bliss of communion with God in the Garden of Eden, was lost as a result of sin. And now, in his revelation, John sees paradise restored. Overwhelmed by everything he saw, John seems to have momentarily forgotten himself, and he fell down to worship the angel that showed him these things. And in fact, the angel stopped him because no one deserves worship except God. Well, you know that many people view the book of Revelation as another, or just another, last days, end of the world prophecy, full of predictions and insights that people try desperately to understand or to interpret. I've known people who are convinced that they know the chronology of the last days events simply by their understanding or their interpretation of the book of Revelation. I would argue with them because I don't believe that anybody knows exactly how things are going to unfold. In fact, I have a friend who would sum up, he used to come here to this church, and he used to sum up the book of Revelation. In fact, he used to sum up the whole Bible in this way. He used to say to people, "I've read the last book and Jesus wins." I've read the last book and Jesus wins. And that's not just a concise, accurate summary of the Bible. It actually summarizes the history of mankind. Jesus wins. However, the book of Revelation is fundamentally about the return of Jesus. If Jesus was never going to return, the book of Revelation would never need to have been written. So the book of Revelation is fundamentally about the return of Jesus and the need for people to be ready lest this great momentous event takes them by surprise. Interestingly, in the book of Revelation, John was told, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Hear that? Do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Now, contrast that to what God said to Daniel approximately 600 years earlier when he had a revelation. And God said to him, seal up the words of this book until the end times. So Daniel, 600 years before John, was told when he got his visions and his prophecies, seal up the words of these books, for they are for the end times. And here, lo and behold, we have John with his revelation 600 years later, and he's told, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Could this therefore mean we really are living in the last days? If so, are you ready should Jesus return? Are you ready if Jesus returns? See, this is a very important question, because the Apostle John seems to tell us, and please listen to this evening. It's so important, because the Apostle John seems to tell us, read it for yourself, that the condition people are in when Jesus returns will be the condition they will remain in for all eternity. I'll say that again. It's a very, very important question, because the Apostle John seems to tell us in verse 11, the condition people are in when Jesus returns will be the condition they will remain in for eternity. So verse 11 says this, he who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. If you're unjust, if you are filthy at the return of Jesus, that means if you are not justified, if you are still filthy with sin, you will remain in that condition for all eternity. If you are righteous or holy, that means if you have been justified and cleansed from your sin, you will remain in that condition for all eternity. I mean, we've all heard of certain people who have been found dead in sensitive, or let's put it, compromising positions or conditions. You know, as a person I know used to joke that if Jesus returned while they were at a Van Morrison gig, they would quickly stub out their cigarette and hold their glass behind their back. But you know, all joking aside, listen to the warning given from heaven to John to give to us in 2018. This is coming directly from the throne of God via the angel to John to give to the churches in Asia Minor, and for that to be recorded down through history to 2018 here in Shiloh Christian Fellowship, or in people's homes who are tuned in to the Facebook or to the podcast. This is what it says. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. The condition people are in when Jesus returns will be the condition they remain in for all eternity. Are you in an unjust, filthy condition? Are you not justified, forgiven, and reconciled to God through faith in Jesus? Are you still filthy with your sin, even though God has provided a means of cleansing from all sin, the condition you're in when Jesus returns will be the condition you will remain in for eternity. Jesus warns, "Behold, I am coming back quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to their works." This means no one will escape the judgment of the Lord. Those who say they don't believe in God or in Jesus, they won't escape. Those who think that they're good enough, they won't escape. Those who wasted their lives in worldly pursuits, they won't escape. Those religious people who were so busy in the things of the Lord that they had no time for the Lord of the things, they won't escape. Those who ignored all the warnings, all the promptings, all the gospel messages, all the gospel tracts that were handed into their hands on the streets of Bangor or wherever they were given them, they won't escape the judgment of Jesus. The condition you're found in at death or when Jesus returns will be the condition you remain in forever. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Nothing and no one will escape his notice or his judgment. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows the outcome for everyone. Do you know your outcome tonight? Do you know where you will spend eternity when Jesus returns? Well, finally tonight, and thank God for the good news, Jesus once again shows us how we can be sure we are among those who will enter the New Jerusalem when he returns. He says, "Blessed are those who do my commandments." Blessed are those who do my commandments. It's only those who do, not those who know. It is only those who do the commandments of the Lord who will be saved. Doing the commandments of Jesus means this: repenting from living your life your way, forsaking your sin, and walking in the ways of the Lord. If, as the book of Revelation suggests, we are in the last days, are you ready for the return of Jesus? Let's pray. Lord, tonight, what a solemn message you have given to us all. The condition a person is in when Jesus returns will be the condition they will remain in for all eternity. Lord, I thank you that for those who know you and love you, we understand that we're not sinless, that we, Lord God, constantly fail you, that we have all of our own flaws and character defects and sinful ways in our lives. But Lord, in your eyes, because we've put our hope in Jesus, because, Lord God, we seek to do the commandments of the Lord, we are forgiven. We have been cleansed from all of our sin. We have been made holy and righteous in your sight. And that is the condition that we will be found in and the condition that we will remain in for all eternity, all because of Jesus. Lord, thank you that we are secure in his love. But we pray tonight, Lord God, for people who are still unjust and filthy with sin. Lord, we don't pass judgment because we ourselves, Lord God, were in that condition too, but you so graciously came to us and rescued us. And you extend tonight, Lord, the invitation to anyone to put their trust in Jesus, to turn from their sins, to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ from all of their sin, so that they too could be made righteous and holy in your sight. Lord, we pray for those who are unjust, those who are filthy with sin still, and that you would show them there is a font of cleansing with Jesus. And may they come to Jesus and find cleansing and be made holy and righteous in your sight. For we ask it in his precious name. Amen.